What an asshole!
Podcasting from Bass Hole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Bass Hole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Doug Bass. This is I'm a Bass Hole, the podcast. Welcome to the show. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Bass Hole Podcast or at Bass Hole Show. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast fix. Make sure you do that. The YouTube channel has the full video experience for yourself. We got a great show today. Our guest is in the studio today. She is a stand-up comedian. She is an actress. She has done it all. She's a model. She's been everywhere. Let's welcome to the show the one, the only, Rachel Sterling. Rachel.
Hey.
There you are.
I'm here.
You are in.
I've been everywhere, but I'm here.
You've been everywhere, but you are here. Yeah. How are you? You are everywhere. How you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
I'm good. I woke up at, what did I say, 2:30 in the afternoon.
Is that a normal schedule for
it's
you?
It's starting to be.
Really? Are you out? You're just out doing shows like super late?
Yeah, and then I think you just get used to. Well, also, most of the shows I do are out of town, mm-hmm. You know, because
yeah,
you wanna
you
get
want
to if you want to get
time.
It. Well, if you want to get a paid for it, you don't do it in L.A.
No,
you know?
Yeah. You want to make some money. You got to do it elsewhere.
And I'm stubborn, so I'll drive.
Yeah, how far do you go usually?
I've driven to Texas.
You've driven to Texas for just one show?
No, not for one show. I'll go for 2 weeks.
All right. Well, that's good. But then you can make some money, though, by doing it. Yeah. You go on a little tour.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I always think it's funny when people just book rando bar shows. Like, I'm on tour. I'm like, no, you're not.
I haven't done rando. Like, I'm starting to dabble in that again, but if the money just doesn't make sense to drive like 2 hours, then it's I don't know.
Because people go, oh, it's on tour. I'm like, no, it's just a stand-up.
I just happen
to work, you know, 4 to 5 times a week, but it's not a tour. It's just work. It's just you go where it is. It just happens to not be now. Tour to me, we all admit I'm on tour when it's sponsored by Ticketmaster or Live Nation or
when it's sold out.
You know, when there's 30.
When people are scalping your tickets on the street.
When it's stadiums, and it's a tour.
I would just call it more of like, I'm going on an experience. I'm going on a journey, a comedic journey.
I'm going to go talk for a bit.
I'm going to talk. But the good thing about getting out of town, though, is that you get to do, you know, more time, and you get a little, you know, scratch, too. Yeah. So if you want to do a half hour, you do have to get out of L.A. area to do that. So you're a stand-up comedian. You're an actress. You've been in Playboy. You've done, like, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
Right? So what started first? Modeling? Modeling, acting?
God, are we going to go, do you want the truth? Do you want the...
Well, no, yeah.
The press release.
This is the truthful podcast.
This is the truthful podcast?
Okay. Well, yeah, it's the asshole podcast.
It started, I ran away from home when I was 17.
You ran away?
Yeah, yeah. So my senior year, I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
I was super smart, because my mom didn't want to watch me.
No.
So she forced them to take me.
She forced you to like forward you ahead of grade or whatever?
She forced the school, like, no, take her. She's smart. She'll learn. So my senior year, I was 16. I turned 17, but I still had another year to go until I was 18.
Wow.
And my home life just sucked so much. And one day I was just like, I've had enough. Because I was going to junior college.
And you grew up in Texas, right?
I was from Texas, but my mom went through great lengths. So I would have the benefit of living in La Jolla, California. So I went to La Jolla High School.
So you moved in high school to California.
No, I don't remember Texas much.
You don't remember Texas?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much.
Just childhood.
Yeah. Just weird little things. One day I was like, I'm out.
So you ran away. You grew up fast. You ran away.
I ran away. No, I grew up under lock and key. Mm-hmm. My mom did not let me out of the house.
So that forced you to run away, essentially.
No, I was done. Yeah, yeah. It's so funny, though, because you see, I don't have kids, but, like, my friends do.
Yeah.
And they don't discipline them much. So you see, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. If you are under a disciplinary family, I mean, you are... I would say the percentage rate of you acting out more is higher than being a good child or growing up, you know.
But I can see how it could be terrifying for an adult. My mom had me when she was really young. Mm-hmm. So I think she was trying to, like, break this cycle. So I think the methodology there was, if I break her spirit and deny her leaving the house, maybe I can. Her goal was just to get me to graduation,
right,
pregnant.
Now, when you run away at an early age, is your mom, like, pissed?
Oh,
she like, where
furious.
The hell are you?
Oh,
like,
she was furious.
You know,
she
and this
was,
is this is before, you know, cell phones and stuff.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
guessing,
so
you know?
Could really run away.
You couldn't track your child and be like, there you are.
Yeah,
whatever,
no,
yeah.
I ran away. I definitely ran away.
Where did you run away to? L.A.?
To my friend's house.
Oh, friend's
house.
Well,
because I wasn't 18 yet. Like, right. Technically, they put my friend's parents, like, took a risk because, you know, you don't
they
have
took
you don't
in.
They took me in. I don't have rights.
Right.
You know,
I'm a minor. Essentially like kidnapping.
So yeah, if my mom wanted to, she could have said they kidnapped me.
Right.
Or whatever.
But she didn't want.
She didn't know. She didn't know where I was.
She didn't know where you were.
No, I laid low. I was like, I was on the lam.
You were like the fugitive. You like dyed your hair and everything. Yeah.
I just didn't leave the house. Yeah.
So you live at this friend's family's parents for a couple years,
like,
or what?
Just until I turned 18.
Until you turned 18.
Yeah,
and then
I went up to Santa Barbara.
And what do you do up there in Santa Barbara?
Just trying to go to school.
Yeah. What were your interests at that age to study? Like, did you have something
well, you
in
to
mind?
Do, you have to do your general.
General.
But, yeah,
but did you have an idea of, like, psychology. What you wanted to do? You wanted to be a psychologist?
Yeah. So I wasn't socialized.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea what to do around other people and like be considered normal. I think that is the root of a lot of issues that I still have because I just wasn't socialized.
Right.
Everyone was older than me. Everyone had, you know, I have hair in my mouth. I don't know where it came from. I think it's your dog.
It might be the dog. This is a house of hair.
Yeah. So like everyone, most teenagers start having experience. You get in trouble. You do stupid shit when you're 15.
Right.
You know, sometimes younger, depending on how you grew up. But what, you know, I didn't get to do that. I would get on restriction, not grounded, restriction for weeks at a time.
Right, because you were
for like rolling my
eyes.
You
were under lock and key.
Oh,
as you
it was
said.
So bad. Yeah. It was so bad.
So now, when you are out in the world as an 18-year-old college student, now are you starting to get in trouble now because this is your first time out?
No,
about?
I was just dumb as a box of rocks. Like it was just.
In what ways?
Like,
you're just making bad choices.
Very naive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Really naive. Really. I think I wanted to, I don't know if I was dumb and I saw the good in everyone or tried to, or just really gullible.
You trusted a lot of people that you shouldn't have. Yeah.
I have a natural
instinct to trust people.
Not anymore,
no.
But,
Well, now you know. Now you know. You've lived through situations, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. It's weird when I tell people stuff about my past because people go, whoa. And I want to be very careful about my wording just because I'm still evolving of my... Your memory of your past is always going to evolve. Like, when people... No matter who you are, you're not going to remember it exactly as it happened. You remember it exactly as it happened to you or how you felt, but that might not be what happened. And so I've got myself in a lot of, I call them pickles, but I always want to make sure that even though this person might have been, you know, not the person to trust or the situation was not the best situation, I always try to take ownership of the fact that I made a choice to be there.
Yeah.
And I was an active participant.
Yeah.
I had choices.
You participated, but you learned from whatever said experience.
Yeah. Oh, there's times where things were about to go down. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. This is fun.
Right. Well, yeah, we've all been there where it's like, I don't know if this is the right choice, but you know what? It's fun. I'm here. I'm doing it. You know, I'm saying yes or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be that girl. Like, when is this ever going to happen again? And like, so this just goes to show I didn't understand my station in life is so many of those situations happen too many times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, this will never happen again. And I then, should and do
then,
this.
And then there's like 2 weeks later, the same opportunity.
Yeah, everything's up. Magical. Everything in the early 2000s was magical.
Well, when you're that young, it's like, why not? You know, it's like, you know, you're young once and you want to do this and you want to do that and you try it and you learn from it and you move on.
Yeah, it's LA, you're only young for 20 years.
Exactly, yeah. So you're in Santa Barbara studying. Yeah. Now, how long did you finish college?
Was that a
one and done semester kind of thing, or did you stick it out for a while?
No, I tried for a while, but I didn't know I had dyslexia. I just thought I was kind of stupid. And I was just, because you know, in high school, you have, six classes?
I believe so. I don't remember.
I was dumb, and I'm just like, I'll just take 5 classes. Everyone's like, you take like 3 classes. What is wrong with you? And yeah. I'm like,
Now, were you taking psychology courses yet? Or no? You didn't even get to
You can take like a beginning one, but you're not allowed, you know, don't really get into it until you take your general.
Right.
Which sucked because I'm like, I already did high school. I have to do it again. I'm like, why?
So you dabble around in college. And then at some point you're like, this isn't what I want to do. This isn't for me right now.
This sucks. Yeah. I was a nanny for a while.
All right. Finding odd jobs here and there, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is funny because I looked like I was 12 when I was 18, 19
Someone
should have
been
old.
Watching you at that point.
Yeah. I was literally like, I don't know how to do stuff. The kids were like, help me with my homework.
Did you have experience with kids?
Well, I raised my sister.
Your sister.
Yeah,
right?
Mom was very like, do as I say, not know as I do type of thing. So I pretty much, I have experience with small children. Once they get older, I don't know what to do with them.
I mean, I feel like you as a nanny would be like entertaining. Like now, maybe. I don't know.
Well, now I'd be at least be able to like do something.
They should reboot the nanny series with you. I would watch that, I think.
Yeah.
When do you move down to LA finally? Do you start modeling or acting or anything like that?
I started stripping, dancing.
And what made you do that? That's interesting.
Yeah, out of spite.
Out of spite of what?
Was
it a revenge thing?
Yeah.
A boyfriend or something?
So my high school boyfriend, he lived in Santa Barbara, and they opened. I think it's now owned by the Spirit Rhino. At the time, it was called the 101 Cafe. Mm. And it had a loophole, like a grandfather, I guess, back in the olden days.
Right.
I don't know if it was a saloon or whatever.
It had a
liquor license and a nudity license.
Wow.
And
that doesn't happen in California, really.
Well, especially in Santa Barbara. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
And it opened, and it was a big deal. It was in the news. Everyone was freaking out about it. And I think at the time I was nannying and I was working at Sizzler.
Sizzler?
As a kid host.
Nanny Sizzler to
I was working
Spearman
as a
Rhino.
Kid host. I was working at a kid host because I was so accident prone that I couldn't like hold anything without falling. So like, okay, and they put me on the register and they're like, she's dyslexic. She can't, you have to read tickets back. And I was fucking
you couldn't do it.
What can you do? And I'm like, I can color.
you organize the kids club.
Yeah, they literally made up a job, and I think it exists to this day. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, there's like a little mini kid bar, and you just take the kids out of line and like leave your parents.
So you should be getting some kind of royalty.
Invented that job. and my boyfriend at the time went to said strip club and didn't. I don't know why I expected him to tell me, but he didn't tell me. And
he didn't know you were doing it.
No. He went.
Oh, he went. All right.
He went, and I was really young, so obviously it was hurt, you know. I was very flat chested still, so in high school this was the burn I had in high school. If you stood sideways and stuck out your tongue, you'd look like a zipper. Burn. Like, it's like shows you how
that's
like,
what people would say to you.
Yeah, that oh, was wow. like my you're flat chested. I was like, that's thinker.
Kids are so fucking mean. But that's
but
yeah,
also
but
that
also
shows
clever.
You
yeah.
how smart the kids well, at La Jolla High School are.
It's like it's like the Riddler insulting you.
Yeah, I was just like
leaving notes.
It's very intelligent.
Riddle me this, and it's like a big fucking insult that you have to figure out. Is this me? I don't know. Jesus, where's Batman?
So so I found out, and I got really hurt, and I was crying. For some reason, I thought all strippers looked like Motley Crue girls. I don't know why I thought that. And he's like, no, it's really he said it's not a big deal. And I should calm down.
Right.
Which you never say that.
Never say that to a woman.
No.
Yeah. Calm down.
I was what? I wasn't even a woman yet, but I was like, all, you know, baby snake, all full of venom. So just emotions all the time. And I was like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's really not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm like, okay, fine. It's not a big deal. And I went home. I had a roommate at the time, it's college, and she, talk about a down bitch. Like, she was in, what are you doing? Homework. Get up. Put some makeup on. We're going to town because we were staying in Goleta, which is where campuses are. And then,
you know, and then you head down.
And
to
we
the,
got on a bus
Rhino.
Because we didn't. We were so poor and young. We didn't even have cars, so we had to take a bus.
Right. Yeah.
And
so you go to the strip club with your roommate.
With my roommate. It's daytime.
Daytime. This is the daytime shift. It's open all day.
Yeah, I think they open at noon.
Yeah.
So we go. It's like noon, 1 o'clock. It looks like a Shakey's or a Pizza Hut. Like never, they didn't change much of anything. Right. Just this slapped
like,
on a name.
It's like an old school place.
Yeah. And they had this kind of like, it looked like a curtain. I don't know if it was a sound curtain or something.
Yeah.
But you could see like the strobes like creeping out from it. And I was like, she's like, no, you go in. No, you go in. You go in. So, like, she shoves me through the thing. So I go in, and it also looks like a Shakey's or Pizza Hut on the inside. There's just this.
It's nothing
just
fancy.
A stage. Yeah, yeah, no.
This is a run-of-the-mill strip.
It was
club.
Awful. Yeah, yeah. There was just the most non-strippery stripper.
Now, what are we talking about? When you
on stage.
When you walk in there, are you like curious? Are you turned on?
I,
are you like, this
terrified.
Is magical?
No,
I'm
I was
scared.
Terrified.
Like, all the
I was,
feelings.
Yeah, all the anger that was like, we're going down there, went away, and I was filled with fear. And then the DJ also doubles as the tour person.
Oh, yeah.
There's
that
all
DJ,
these.
That DJ, the DJ stripper, strip club DJs probably have some good stories.
Oh, they have the best stories, probably. They're so sick of us. They hate us. They're like, oh, these bitches. And then there's all these, like, it's day shift. It's like, there's no customers yet. So there's all these, like, girls just surly as fuck leaning, like, against the wall, staring at me like this bitch. And I lean over. Because he can't hear me, and I burn my hair in a candle. And I'm like, whoop, it's a candle. Like, right here. I'm like, great.
For the
so
atmosphere,
then I,
yeah.
Yeah. And I go in, I'm like.
And now, do you apply for the job?
I went in, and we both applied.
Oh, so the roommate applies, too?
Yeah, she's a friend, but she didn't even know what we were doing until we were
so
halfway
when she get,
there.
So when she gets there, is she just like, yeah, I want to work here?
She didn't. She was just doing it for me. She was like, we're doing this. She's like,
she applied with you just to do it for you.
Yeah. Just
as like moral support.
Yeah.
That's a good roommate.
She's a friend, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a good friend, but she's a good friend. And we applied to be waitresses.
So oh, wait a minute. So you got to be a waitress first?
No, I just.
That's like, I feel like that's the, I've had my strip club days and I feel like I've gone there and it's like, you meet someone's like, no, I'm just a cocktail waitress here. Oh, okay. Oh, so you don't dance? No. And then eventually, like a month later, they're dancing. Yeah, and it's like, what happens?
yeah. Well, also because I didn't have boobs. I always got teased for it. I think I was really young looking.
Right.
So. I wasn't used to being objectified, so I took that as I'm not attractive, which is shows you how brainwashed women are. But,
yeah,
come on. But and I just was like, oh, I could probably waitress. And we were sitting there doing our interview, and he goes, so you and the oh my god, and the guy, the strip club manager. Was the quintessential, like, if you had a strip club manager.
Is he like the guy from, like, Porky's or something like that?
No,
like,
he's definitely, he was a skinnier version of, oh, I can't remember his character's name on Sopranos with the pompadour.
Oh, like Pauly Walnuts. That guy?
Yes.
Or Sylvia.
Yes, but skinnier,
Sylvia Dante?
But skinnier. Yeah, yeah. Skinnier. Skinnier.
All right.
And he, just... absolutely no manners when he's talking. He's just so blunt and like, I was just like, whoa, you work with women?
Yeah.
And he's eating a sandwich while he's interviewing me. And he's like, so you're going to be a dancer? And I was like, no, waitress. And he goes, so in 2 weeks, you're going to be a dancer. He's rolling his eyes. He's like, oh, we're going to play this
game.
Well,
he must see this story
like
a million times.
Like
every girl,
the game we're playing?
Every girl comes in there like curious and being like, no, I just want to serve beer.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
He's like, is this the game we're playing? Okay, honey.
Do you want to make money?
Okay.
Or
no?
Like,
no, I told him. I'm like, I don't think I'll work here very long. I just want to make my boyfriend mad because he came here and he told me it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
And he started laughing. He was like, oh, well, you can make him pretty mad here. And so we both got jobs.
Then, do you start immediately? What happens?
I think we started like the next day.
All right. No training? No no training from the dancers or anything like that?
To be a waitress?
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how to be a waitress either. I mean, it's just soda.
You just bring out the drinks.
You pour soda. Yeah, it's literally soda because in California you can't have full nudity and alcohol. All right,
so you serve in drinks and then you move up to a dancer a few weeks later.
All you do is serve soda and you.
And how was? Did you enjoy working as a stripper? Did you like it? Or were you like, this is horrible? This is not what I thought it was.
It's both. It's a little bit of both. I like I said, I was dumb as a box of rocks. Mm-hmm. I think if I had developed, this is a time when my mom was really abusive, so I didn't have any real self-esteem or place that I felt like I belonged, feeling of belonging and stuff like that. So when you go join the freak show,
so this felt
they
like,
make you feel like you belong. So
this felt like a home in a sense.
It felt comfortable and also, when you grow up weird in that kind of household, you learn how to read a room.
Yeah.
Used to be I would read a room for life or death. Who am I getting today? Do I need to run and hide or not?
So this
and
felt now like I read this a room. This felt comfortable enough.
Yeah,
for
now
right
I can
there.
Read a room and it's just like, oh, now I just get paid for reading a room.
Were the customers at least, decent and not like creeps or anything like that?
No, it was super easy.
And there's probably, high notch security or whatever.
It was easy. It was a time when it was easy. The internet hadn't happened.
That's true, yeah. People are thankful for these places at that time.
Now the girls work so hard for no money.
For nothing,
it's crazy. Like, I mean, if I went to work late, I would work late, like 11 o'clock. You're supposed to get there at 7. I'm like, get there at 11. And it's only till 2.
Yeah.
And if I only made $700, I'd be like, why did it even come?
Well,
you know what I mean?
this one girl I know works at Body Shop, and she'll get there like 11, and she's out at like 4:30 or whatever. Yeah. But she's also like, I don't feel like she's dancing all the time.
No,
she's like doing
it.
Private things and whatnot.
I mean, these were clean dances too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like legit clean dances. Like they had to sit on their hands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sit on their hands.
Yeah, it's when they would listen to you. I can't imagine what these girls
I don't think
have
I've been
to
a strip club where you had to sit on your hands. I've never had.
I always made them sit on your hands.
Wow. That's right. Was that a rule?
Wait, but this
was
also this was a long time ago. This was ancient times where they were like.
Ancient times.
This is when you had to This is when you had to watch porn. There was dial up. So there was
dial
like,
up porn.
You know what I mean? Like people still bought Playboy magazines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. So you worked there for a while.
Worked there for a while.
And then did this lead to your Playboy? You were in Playboy in May, 2006?
2006.
Was that quite some time later?
It was quite some time later. Right,
So you worked as a stripper for a while and then you start segueing to modeling or?
I didn't want to do it anymore. And, I was married to my first husband, and who if you've listened to my comedy, he died. Not my fault. I had my first panic attack, and it wasn't like the nudity. It was I think the internet had happened.
The internet showed up.
And I started getting weird questions. Because I already was having panic attacks. Like I didn't.
Were you on the internet, like as a performer at all?
Yes, and I didn't know what the internet was, so that was a surprise to me. And I was not enjoying that at all, and it was just a little too much. And then I would have, that scene from Tom and Pammy, where she's like, "What's the internet? I don't know. What's this thing?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
That is so. That scene was so
interesting.
It was really triggering
because it was. I mean, you think back, like
we didn't know.
You think back and like internet. When did internet was like around? But like, it's like that transition from like working at a strip club to like, oh my god, internet is here. I can put a video of this online or a picture or whatever, and then people find you and you gain a following of some sort.
Yeah, but there's a reason. Well, see, now it's different. Now society thinks of I don't know. I don't like when they call it sex work.
No.
Sex work. Sex work is when you're doing the sex. We're doing sexy work. We're doing sexy work. No, because a lot of dancers, they go, we're sex workers. I'm like, I don't know what you're fucking doing. I was literally
giving
lap dances. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, sex work.
And rarely actually on a lap.
So, well, that's like with prostitution or like escort or I don't know.
I feel it's so disrespectful to prostitutes because they're literally doing some work.
Right,
Like, no, you're like these girls are like, I'm all safe. You're all safe in a little.
Yeah.
Now, did you, in a little club, when, if you scream, someone comes. Like, these bitches are like taking their
now,
life.
When you, When you were when you were stripping, were you able to become like one of those like
famous strippers,
national touring headliner strippers, where you show up at a club in Oklahoma and like the whole town comes out because so-and-so is here and and all the other girls hate you because you're
they love me.
But you know what I mean. It's like a headlining comedian coming in and doing the whole show.
They're very similar, man. Yeah.
Now you were able to do that. You were able to get in on that. Was that because of your Playboy appearance or anything?
No, because it hadn't happened yet. I lucked out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That must have felt like, you know, you moved up a notch.
I was the best at what I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right. That was the money's good. You're touring around. Yeah.
And because my idea was, like, I just wanted to not do... Like, work smarter, not harder. Because if you tour, you're making thousands of dollars for 20-minute sets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of pretty much like stand-up.
Yeah.
You don't have to do lap dances. I mean, you can. Yeah, but I didn't. When I'd go to a club, I thought it was disrespectful to the women that were working because they're trying to make money.
Right. You're the main attraction for the night.
So I was like, I'm not going to take their money by giving dances when they should be.
And what would you come out and do? Two 20-minute dances or something?
No,
like that?
I would do four songs.
Four songs.
Four songs
throughout the night.
No. What?
All in one chunk. Yeah, so these people show up.
Four songs, a themed set.
So we know like Rachel Sterling's going on at like, you know, 11 p.m. or whatever. Yeah. And then everyone would be there for the half hour or whatever. So and that's it.
And just depending on the venue, like sometimes it'd be one show, sometimes it'd be two shows.
That's awesome. That seems like a, you know.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it's a ton of money. And then I didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And I kind of like, didn't know what a panic attack was, but I just packed my stuff and just kind of never.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm done.
Now, did you ease out of it, or did you just stop cold turkey one day?
They don't really let you ease. I had a lot of contracts pending.
Right.
When
okay.
I left, so it was kind of.
So you started. You started
like
segueing into
I started like dipping out, and I told my husband, I was like, I can't do this anymore, and I don't know why. I just feel like weird when I ask someone, "Do you want a dance?" And it was like my home club or whatever. And they would look at me up and down, like, well, what do you do? And I just felt it was so insulting. And I don't know if it was the question or the manner in which they were talking to me, because they were talking to me like I'm beneath them. And so I think, I don't know if it's like the fog lifted from my eyes and I just saw things as they really were.
Right.
Or if I, you know, some self-esteem dropped in my brain or something, but I was like,
it sounds like it starts becoming something else at a point.
Yeah, it was really
not what you signed up for. And
I couldn't even be naive enough to ignore the implication. So it just made me uncomfortable, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I told him this, and he's just used to me making a shit ton of money, and he thought he didn't say anything. And then a few days later, he goes, "Hey, I got a great idea. Like, we can keep our lifestyle and you only have to work like a month out of the year." And I was like, "Oh, great. What's this?" I was kind of hoping you would get a job.
Was he working at all?
No. You know why? Because I'm dumb. He was a very handsome man that sang and had tattoos and, type of like. And I said, I just want you to do your art. Because to me, I mean, it's like something costs $1,000. Just go to work for half a day and make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I didn't have a concept of money. And I just thought it would always be there. I don't know why I thought like that, but whatever.
Right.
And then he just got used to it. And then he said, "I've already made some calls." And he's like, "All you have to do is just do a little porn." And I was like, "What? Not even we do the porn. I have to do it." And
there it goes.
Yeah. And I was just kind of like, well, if that's what I wanted to do, don't you think I'd be doing it?
You could have easily segued into that from stripping, I would imagine.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure you had offers and stuff like that.
Yeah, tons of offers. Tons of offers. You know, and he was just like, he didn't see the problem with it. And I was like, "I'm your wife."
Yeah.
And so I don't know why
he didn't care.
Yeah, and I think it just goes to show, like, when I was younger, I thought he was so cool because he didn't tell me what to do.
Right.
And then now I realize he just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, now he's slowly, you know what I mean? like taking control of your career.
Oh, no, he managed my money. I just let him.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. I was stupid.
Yeah. All right, so no porn. No.
Well, I mean, it just depends what your idea of porn is.
Well, you know, I mean,
There's so many, I've lost so many jobs like mainstream jobs because people are like, she's a porn star. And I'm like, find me the porn. So I'm banging on the table.
No, that's all right.
So, yeah, I think I started doing like bikini competitions, which I thought they were so easy.
Right.
Because he's just all nervous. I have to walk out there. And I'm like, bitch, I have to walk out in 5 times a night. Because you know how they parade the girls
so
out?
So now it's like a bikini, but they film it and they.
Yeah, but these girls are so nervous that they're like, oh, we have to walk around stage.
Because you already have tons of experience doing this.
That's all you have to do.
There's just a camera now or whatever.
The only difference is I don't have to ask for a dance after. Right, so to me, it was super easy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you do the higher profile ones, there's always like, they're always kind of leering type of predatory type people.
Depending on what town you're in, I'm sure.
Yeah, because they always, you know, especially out here, there's always somebody that wants to advance your career. And I think at one of them, somebody was like, oh, why are you doing this? Why shouldn't you just be an actress?
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just go do that. And I was like, what do you have to do for that? And he goes, you need a SAG card. And I go, what? I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And he goes, you probably have to do extra work. I'm like, ew, no, I knew I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, there's a, I don't remember how he knew,
but he gave me
an address. And he's like, I don't know if you have a headshot, but find one, make one, whatever.
How old are you at this point?
I don't even remember.
20s?
Yeah. Early, young. Young.
Did you have any kind of acting experience as a kid?
No, I didn't even like talking.
Yeah.
I didn't even like talking.
That's interesting because, I've known you for a little while now, and you're so outgoing and bubbly and fun, and you know. But I'm guessing just because from the years of performing, this has creeped into your personality now,
and
it's great, obviously. But
I almost flunked high school because I couldn't do roll call.
Right. So what's your first acting gig? So you get headshots. Do you get an agent right away? You get a SAG card?
No.
Does it take a while?
I got SAG immediately. So I went to the audition.
Are you in L.A. at this point?
In L.A.
Yeah.
It was for Tomcats with Elizabeth Shannon. Or Shannon
Tom
Elizabeth.
Cat.
Shannon
oh, that
Elizabeth.
Oh, that was a movie, right?
Yeah. It's a long time ago.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell was
in it.
And they give me, you know, Shannon's role that she ended up getting. And I was honest because everyone else is in there with these mile-long credits
resumes and stuff like that.
And I was
and
like,
you don't have any credits.
No credits. Definitely looked the part because it was the first stripper. So I was like, I have the apparels.
Right.
And I was honest. Like, you don't have a headshot? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't even know what this is. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And it's just not what you're supposed to say.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people probably are lying to get in
oh,
there.
I cop to it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I think the only reason I got away with it is now watching the final product of the film. I looked the parts. So there was that.
Right.
And also I was really young, and I think there's something about youth. You can just get away with some stuff when you're really young.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, let's see how bad you are. Come in here.
Well, yeah, everyone's, you know, it's like when you're young and auditioning especially, it's like
everyone is
optimistic. They're trying to give you a shot. You know, they're like, oh,
they probably thought it was cute.
She could be the next big thing. Yeah. She's beautiful. You know, she's got some talent. She's got a look. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
So I read it and he goes, well, you're not terrible, but you are green.
Green.
So
that's the word they use. You're green.
You're green. Yeah. So you weren't too awful, but you can't have this part. And so, he goes, we're going to give you another part. And I, again, another thing of naivete that I would never say this at a casting.
Right.
I said, I won't. I didn't say I didn't want to. It fell out so fast. I said, I won't do extra work. I meant it like, it's cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to give me something. I don't want to do extra work. And he said, okay. And they tapped.
But they wrote me
a talking role and Taff Hartley'd me.
For Tomcats?
Yeah.
So you're in that movie, Tomcats.
I got a SAG card
from that.
My first.
That's great though.
Gig,
I mean, because like, first of all, you say I won't do extra work, which is there's noble of you, you know. Even though you know it's like a lot of actors.
No, it's terrible. Everyone shouldn't pay their dues.
You know what the problem with extra work is like. You know, I've done it here, you know, here and there in the past. Like, but a lot of people become career extras, and then they don't fucking leave that because they become SAG, and then they're making decent union money being an extra, and then they never pursue the fucking acting, and it's like, you know, it's a trap almost.
Yeah.
But it's this also this. I'm imagining this cast. casting director for Tomcats is, I don't know who cast it, but it's a legit, you know, they're not an extra casting department. So they are casting the speaking roles.
Yeah.
They're in charge of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's great that they were able to, like, you know, write something in there for you, or, you know, the director or the writer must have seen something and was like, no, we want her in it, but we'll figure out what.
Well, I did Brand New Boobs. I think it's
Brand New Boobs.
Brand new.
That was your they're credit. Like, that was your credit on the resume.
She's great. We're good.
Brand New Boobs is
Brand the New Boobs. Yeah.
All right, so you get this small role in Tomcats, yeah, and then what comes? And then what comes after that? Do you get an agent? Do you start going out for more things?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of. I haven't even done. That's what's so funny. Like when people say, "What do you do?" I'll usually say nothing.
Well, because you are. Because
it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, so wait, you get Tomcats. Well, this is important, though, because you get Tomcats, which I do remember seeing that movie. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember it was like a raunchy, like, bro comedy
kind
or
of those
something, right?
American Pie. American Pie vibe.
Yeah, something
things,
like that.
Yeah.
But then after that, is this when you get cast in Wedding Crashers?
No, that's sometime after.
Couple years later?
What was it?
2000. 2004, 2005 is when Wedding Crashers comes out.
So like five, yeah, and I just
So was that like your second or third thing that you booked?
Big thing. So after that, I just went and I think I got like the pilot for Entourage, which they cut me. And
you
I was so mad.
You worked on the pilot, but you're not in that. But you are in some episodes.
Furious, because it was such a good line too, and I was just like, "Wait, you cut me."
But talk about, I mean, even though you have, you know, your part in Wedding Crashers is, you know, it's one. You're one of the girls that they end up hooking up with at the weddings, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, not they.
Vince Vaughn.
They would be a very
Vince,
different.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. But is the
you're,
Vince Vaughn's
you're, like,
character
talking about the porno version of it?
That was the deleted.
But
that's a huge. I mean, Wedding Crashers. I mean, talk about, like, you know, just being cast in one of the probably best comedies in the past. You know,
I mean, that was a favor. That was the only time I did a favor for a production.
That was a favor being in that movie?
Yeah, because there was someone else. There was a different project that I was on, and I was supposed to help. I was doing, like, when I did like the one time I did extra work, but it was like an $800 base or something crazy. And I was like, I'll fucking do it. And it was great because we always went into Golden Time. And so these girls were cast to be strippers.
In Wedding Crashers?
No, in a different film. And for some reason, I don't know what's wrong with them, because in a breakdown it says, you must do this.
Right. Must be nude or topless.
It tells
or
you.
Yeah.
It tells you.
Must be willing to do nudity.
And this is also before things, like, now you have to be so careful with how you talk to actresses.
Yeah.
And,
well, now they have, like,
hurt their
feelings, they have intimate coordinators now and stuff.
No, but like before, you could just, like, yo, this is what you have to do.
Right.
Do it or don't do it, but don't waste our time.
Yeah.
And so these girls would come in and they were dropping like flies. They're like, oh, well, no, I can't. And I would explain to them, I'm like, no, honey, you were literally a nude fuzzy thing in the back. They're really not even.
You're a nude extra or whatever.
See.
Yeah.
Well, because they needed a girl to, like, climb poles and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was going to teach how to climb poles and stuff like that. And they wouldn't, like, we went through a lot of girls.
Yeah. They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it. And I was, after a while, I was like, fuck, I'll do it.
Well, that's why.
And,
like,
I said, don't show my face. So I was doing this. I'm hiding. Right. There's a scene where there's a lap dance between the two main characters and Emile Hirsch. It was the girl next door. So Emile Hirsch.
Oh, the girl next door with
Emile Hirsch is
Luke Greenfield.
He was a
director.
Minor at the time. So they.
That's a great
they
movie.
They had SAG on set, and they had like two pillows.
Right.
So we wouldn't be touching him. And my legs were like, my legs aren't long. So the girl with longer legs. And so I went with the other actor, and the whole time he's laughing because I'm hiding my face.
Right,
you don't want
your face.
I'm like, just look, just you, these you can film, just not this.
Now, why don't you want your face in this? Because it's an uncredited part or whatever, right?
It's an uncredited part. I was trying to get away. I didn't succeed, but I was trying to get away from playing strippers.
Right. So they end up putting your face in this thing? This is Girl
Next
Door?
Here's the funny part, is I succeeded in just being body parts.
So they didn't. They didn't.
And then in the fucking the ends, like, but they put all the bloopers in.
Yeah, you're in the blooper.
I'm laughing. I laugh. Something happened. And obviously, we're laughing, and the I can't remember who the actor is I was acting with. He says my name. He's like, "Ha ha, Rachel." Ha ha. What are you doing? and they put it in the bloopers. I'm like, well, so much for that.
But that was fucking Luke's fault. Luke Greenfield.
Yeah.
I know Luke pretty well as well, and you know him.
Yeah.
Too, but he was the director, so he ended up putting that in.
Yeah, I was like, God damn it.
Fucking Luke.
He said, he's like, we'll get you, like, next project, we'll take care of you. It was so nice of you.
Right.
Like, you did all the, you know, the thing you didn't want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, okay. Because usually, I mean, if we had a dollar for every time someone was like, I'll get you next time. Or they ask you, ooh, sorry, for a contact. And then.
So this favor, they reach out for you. Yeah, and they actually. Ends up being Wedding Crashers?
Yeah, and they actually reached out to me on the next big project.
The production company of the Wedding Crashers, the producers.
Was it Luke? It might have been Luke. I don't remember who it was.
Was Luke involved in that? David Dobkin?
David I have the worst memory.
Well, I'm just trying to
remember.
You're
going to have to edit the part out, or I can't remember.
Peter Abrams, the producers? I don't know. So
all I know is at the time I was doing Pussycat Dolls, and it was... in the beginning there were 16 girls and there were 12 girls and they were just kind of like really the shape of the group hadn't taken place yet. It used to be like a burlesque show and the singers came in and it was kind of a wild ride at the time.
Yeah.
I was not used to the schedule and you know you're under a very demanding. It was really demanding, and I wasn't even doing most. But we still used to, you had to participate in all the stuff, even if you weren't doing that scene or that act or whatever. So I was also, it was a lot of pressure to be thin,
Right.
It was that was the look back then.
Yeah, it comes with that, yeah.
And I was a little emotional because I was fucking hungry. And
gotta eat.
Yeah, no.
Do not starve yourself.
No, if not, if you're gonna wear Frankie B jeans, they only come in the size cocaine. So it's like you're not. There's no eating. There's no fucking eating.
Right. So you're doing pussycat dolls.
Yeah. And I get this text, and he's like, "Hey, are you?" He goes, "Are you still skinny?" I don't know why. God. I hope I don't get anyone in trouble with that. But I was just like, I'm in a girl band. I'm see-through.
Right.
I am see-through right now. Like, you couldn't even jail me. I could get through the jail. I could get through the bar. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, and you're part Asian. And I'm like, I mean, a little bit. Yeah. And he's like, you want this part. And it was like, it's your part if you want it. But the director just wants to, like, see you and, like, meet you. I guess he wanted to see if I was... cool.
Or right.
Pass the vibe test. And I was like, yeah, of course. I would do anything to get out of the amount of time I had to spend with these people.
Right.
Because at the time, it was really hard.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck hell. And so I go, I meet, and they offer me the part. And then I had to ask permission.
To
do it.
To shoot it, yeah.
Yeah, which that was, it didn't go over well.
Really?
No.
They were like, no? I mean, how long was this?
Well, no, because you signed a contract that you're in first position.
Yeah, but what do you shoot, like two days on Wedding Crashers? How long is it?
Like a solid week.
A week, okay. Yeah. So a week's worth of work, leaving the Pussycat Dolls to shoot this thing.
Which shouldn't have been a problem.
No.
It's just because, you know.
And it shoots in LA.
It was a weird time. Yeah. There were too many girls. It's like you can't give one kid a cookie and not another kid a cookie and...
Right.
You know.
So they let you do it, obviously.
I begged and they let me do it.
Which, thank God, because this, like Wedding Crashers, $40 million budget, ends up making, what does it make? It makes $288 million worldwide.
Oh, I know. Well, my first residual check was $70,000, so I was stoked.
That's insane. Now, did you have any idea that this, obviously Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, you know, it's like, two big stars, but did you have an idea this was going to be the biggest hit?
I read that. I mean, they gave me the script to read, and I was laughing my ass off through the whole thing.
Right.
But I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to be that big.
Yeah.
You know, I think the funny thing is I knew Christopher Walken was in it.
Yeah.
And this is before I read this. That's why they gave me the, like, honey, you need to do the script. Because I out loud was like, can I switch my, I wanted to switch my person I worked with to Christopher Walken because I was like such a fan and like, no, you can't
you can't switch. You're asking if can I meet with the writers and have Christopher Walken bang
that's
me?
That's not how it works, honey.
You want him to bang you instead of the Vince Vaughn character.
You have a way of saying things that make it so sleazy.
Oh, well, I mean, Wedding Crashers, that whole montage, that was what it was about, wasn't it?
I do love that men only remember the montage. They don't remember the dancing. They don't remember,
I remember
the wedding.
You know, they remember the drinking.
I remember
that that was one of the best cleverly put together montages in a film that I had seen, I thought. Even the editing, like the way, like, you know, like, you know, with the way the girls were, like, you know, thrown on the bed, and like the way
well, yeah, because they went through like
the way
each,
it was cut
each wedding. Yeah,
the way it was cut was actually pretty brilliant, I thought, because it was funny and it was also like artistic in a way and clever. And it was,
I do think it's
it
funny
well
that
done.
People only remember the end of that montage now.
But that montage made the rest of that movie work, because like that montage really was like the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie. And like it's set up. That's pretty much all the partying. What the trailer was. What the name of the script is. And then the rest of it just is, you know, it's a romantic comedy. So it's like, you know, it's like that's all the partying right there. You know, and you are part Asian, right? So
yeah. Were you in the Asian?
Wasn't there an Asian wedding?
I was the Asian wedding.
So wait, you are Vince Vaughn when he's like, she was my first Asian. Is that you? That's you.
Yeah. And
that's funny.
And it's funny because. And I hope I don't get anyone in trouble, but I didn't take any. I'm Native American, which looks very Asian, because it is, and then I'm part Korean, but not a lot, but like enough. And this is a Chinese wedding, so I'm not Chinese. And they're like, we just need someone because there's a lot of dancing, and there was like, yeah. I guess there was. Problem finding dancers that were also this, that were, you know,
well,
so it was just,
I mean, you know what, you're friends with
and
the
then
family
you also
at
have
the wedding.
And then you also have to be cool, like, oh, yeah. So you're also going to be naked later, like, topless. Like, are you cool with this? And
you're the cousin of someone
like,
at the wedding, yeah.
Do you mind if we, am I just say it? What do you need? Because they're being so delicate. I'm like, what do you need? And I'm like, can we, you know, accentuate your Asianness? And like, oh, what, like with eyeliner and like
the hairdo?
And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah. What, I mean, you afraid you're going to offend me?
Right, exactly, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I was supposed to be offended, but I definitely wasn't. I was like, it's a gig and I'm an actor. Like,
right. Well, these are the times.
At that time, I would have juggled flaming cats, you know what I mean?
That was the time back in 2004 or whatever.
You could just speak plainly.
Yeah. You could, you know, someone could play a different this, that, whatever, you know, and like not get, you know, reprimanded.
Now it's like, forget it.
Like if you're not really Chinese, you're not playing a Chinese person or whatever. Yeah. Mm. You know, which obviously makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, it's like it was a different time back then. But yeah, that must have been a great experience working on that.
It was
so
fun.
How was Vince Vaughn working?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my face hurt from.
I would imagine
he's always just keeping the energy up, and he's
I met him once, but that was I was working in an office as an intern, and he was in some meeting, and as an intern, they were like, "Hey, can you go buy Vince some American Spirit cigarettes across the street?" And I was like. Yeah, okay. And I just went, got a pack of cigarettes and handed it to him. That was it, though. That's awesome, though. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And so between put together, you know, I actually got more, because I remember it was like a big deal that I wasn't staying and doing like what everyone else was doing, and I had to ask permission to do this thing.
Right.
And I just made up my mind. I was like, you know what? If these are the kind of opportunities that I'm going to get, and every time... You know, I'm taking a pay cut doing this, which ended up being something amazing. But in the beginning, you know, in the beginning of a group, it doesn't matter if it were signed, you're signed already with a label. Like, it's, you're not getting a lot of money.
No.
So I was like downsizing like a motherfucker.
So do you stay on with the Pussycat Dolls after Wedding Crashers?
No.
More acting work starts coming in.
Well, I just decided that's what, I had more fun. I felt better as a person, as a human being.
That's good.
And even though I wasn't like, in my opinion, I wasn't like acting, you know what I mean? It was just like something that I was right for, and I just acted naturally.
Acting, you're booking work, you're one of the biggest movies of that decade, you know, and it's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just noticed like, and I did at that time, I had an agent, and they were like, can you do this? Can you do this? And every time, I'm like, every time I ask to do something, it's going to be a nightmare. So I was just like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be a good actor or not, or make money at it or not, but I just know I feel better when I'm doing this.
Right.
And I feel not like I don't belong here.
Yeah.
Like, it's very chaotic, and I don't.
You felt accepted. You felt like this is something that you can keep doing as far as.
Like, my dream wasn't to sing. You know what I mean? I really liked doing burlesque, and I really liked the concept of it. And I was down to, like,
It's a step.
Take the vocal lessons and, like,
stepping stone, Pussycat Dolls. I mean, you know, like, you know, a lot of people start out doing it, and then they move on, and they, you know, branch out and do this and that or whatever,
It's, when you join a girl group, you have to already come with the talent. It's definitely, it was nice that they were willing to, like, we can make it work, we can teach your stuff, but it's hard to learn that on the job when everyone else came in knowing
already.
So
there's a lot of competition.
It was a different time. You know what I mean? It was just a different time. We were all young. I was, you know, we were all going through whatever we were going through. So I left, and it was great. Like, Interscope was just like, you're not allowed to sing, and I'm like, don't want to.
I'm working with Vince.
I had a great relationship with Jimmy Iovine. He was super nice. Robin was like, well, whenever I need you, guess who's showing up? I'm like, me. And he's like, you. I have a great relationship with Robin now.
Didn't burn
any bridges. Yeah. I just tried acting, and then it just kind of
just started going from there.
It's not like I have, like, a major success story. It's just that I just continuously worked. I do think that there were a lot of lateral moves I made, but at my mindset was not necessarily the work of acting. I wish it would have been.
Right.
I wish I would have loved acting and put the work in like I do with stand-up.
Right. Well, now it seems like, I mean, you know, it seems like you've really found, like, you know, your passion at this point in life, stand-up.
I mean, it's the best thing, because it's just like I have so many weird things. My perspective on life is interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
it's all over the place,
and you've already been yourself, you know, publicly, you know, pretty much. So stand up is just an extension of that, but doing, you know, jokes within the structure. So it's actually, like, kind of the perfect thing for you, I think, at this point.
Given my past too, like, I mean, people are like, oh, it's a hard thing because people are mean and they judge you and they talk shit about you. I'm like, people have been mean and judging me since I was 20. So I'm used to it. I don't like it. Nobody likes it, but it's not anything new to me. And I also don't get stage fright.
Right. That's a big thing. I mean, a lot of people they get stage fright, and they have to overcome that. And you're already a natural performer, so it's like
And I'm just from a different era where you're told you suck all the time.
It comes with rejection for sure. Yeah, yeah. So. Now, you filmed, how long have you been doing stand up, though?
Even that long.
Like, what, like 5 years? 4 years?
I think Isabella Charlton's like, say 5 years. stop saying the truth. 3 years.
All right. Well, that's, I mean, you know,
I'm still new.
We're all learning. We all learn every day, and it's just the experience that gets you better. And just get the stage time and that kind of thing, you know. You filmed a stand up special with Funny Media Group.
Okay, so we're gonna correct that right there.
All
right. They filmed me.
They filmed you.
They called it a special.
What would you call it?
They filmed me. All it's right. film. It's
now, is this something you are proud of? Do you want people to see this or no?
I mean, it's got a lot of hits. No, I'm not.
You don't want people to see this.
I mean, you can see whenever. I mean, not everything. Everyone, anyone can look up on me.
Then I'm not gonna play.
You can play
it.
You can play it. If you found. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this. Is when I have anxiety, so I'm never one of those comics that will ever say, "Oh, I killed." It will never come out of my mouth. I'll say it felt good, or it was a good crowd, it was a great room, I had fun. I'll say that.
Right.
I will never say I killed. I have new friends, or they're not friends, but like people that I've let in my life that were, you know, 3 months in, 10 months in, I killed in my head. I'm just, it makes me cringe. And I'm like,
I'm just never like
saying that out loud.
I'm never that confident. That's
my
problem.
I'm not that confident.
Even if it went well on stage, mm-mm, I'll be like, okay, yeah, that was an experience. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would never walk off stage and be like, I just killed. Fuck this player.
No,
you know what I say?
I see
people like that though.
I say they didn't throw fruit. So for me,
I'm like, they didn't leave. They were there. They stayed.
Nobody said, you're so God.
Right. All right, then I'm not going to play this, but people can find your comedy.
Well, here's why those jokes.
No, you know what? Because I've played people's stand up like in the past on this, and sometimes people are like, I don't know.
I would have given you something I posted on Instagram or something, but the reason why is those jokes or those premises, not premises, not jokes. They were kind of in development,
and they've
all turned into something by now.
Well, yeah, it evolves.
So when I did this, everyone was like, "Don't do it because you'll burn your material." And I was like, "If I'm still doing this joke in 10 years, kill me,
kill you,
just
exactly,
harpoon me where I stand."
Well, because then you're not evolving.
I was just like, I didn't realize I was Jerry Seinfeld and didn't want to burn through my material. Nobody gives a shit. No one cares.
And if a bit is that good, people will come out and want to see it again live.
And they paid you. And I was like, a couple hundred bucks. I'm just going to go do this. I made the mistake of wearing that tank top, which I think the lighting is the way it is, which makes my face look really old.
I'm not going
to
play it.
There's a reason I don't like it. I was just like, I wish, because I had asked to be in the editing room.
We can find plenty of your stuff at R Sterling Comedy on Instagram. So you can go there and find
what
all
was the
her
joke?
Stuff.
What was the joke that you
I don't
found
know. You were time? Talking about your the cats and the dogs. It's like one of your opening bits.
Oh, okay. Well, my cat's probably good.
Yeah. You do have a cat, though.
I do have a cat.
Guillermo?
Is that his name? Handsome. Is that his name? He's so handsome.
Yeah. He's very handsome. Actually.
He's expensive. He should be.
What is he, a Siamese? What is he?
He's a ragdoll Siamese.
Ragdoll Siamese. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know there were different variations of Siamese. That's pretty cool.
The ragdoll. The reason he's so lush.
Got
and
long
hairy.
Long hair. Yeah.
And he's like a puppy. Like,
yeah. He seems cool. Yeah. I always breed, see you posting about.
Yeah, that breed. Like they'll come when you call and they'll let you hold them and
like
they like
dog,
to sleep next to you.
Yeah.
But the Siamese part of him chooses violence sometimes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, this is the I'm a Basshole show.
Okay.
And guests do come on here and they're supposed to talk about a time in their life that they may have been an a-hole. It can be an isolated moment. It could be a chunk of time in your life. Maybe you're one right now. Maybe you're an asshole and you're proud of it and you wear it like a badge on your shoulder. Anything along those lines that you'd like to share with the audience today?
I would say the early 2000s. Everyone had, if you were in LA long enough and you have, most people have a time in their life where you're kind of a dick or an asshole. And that was mine. It was the Von Dutch era it was in the air. Like
Von Dutch, that's the clothing, right?
Yeah. It's when everyone wore the
those hats.
Yeah. So it's that era. And, okay. So I used to have I had an assistant for 7 years.
Nice.
Because I didn't know how to do anything for myself and I had anxiety.
Like,
I don't have stage fright, but I will lose my mind. I'll sit in the car and like have to like psych myself up to
like a personal assistant.
Go into the grocery store.
Right.
So I had an assistant for a long time. And when I would have appearances, so when you do like at the time I was doing like Maxim, FHM, and I would do like a different country
magazine,
every other month. Yeah. So it was like pretty regularly there's a new magazine. So whenever one comes out, this is before Instagram. So
the old
before Insta hoes, there were Maxim magazine girls.
Right, people would buy the Maxim,
And a club would pay you so that they could use your picture for the night, and like you would host the night.
Oh.
And you didn't do anything; you just like sat behind the DJ booth and like waved to people.
Oh,
like,
so you'd be at the club?
Yeah, I paid to party basically.
People would be like, "There's Rachel Sterling. Let's get in that club somehow.
Yeah,
we're gonna hang out with her. Yeah, she's gonna be our friend. That's what they're thinking when they're waiting in line.
I guess I don't know, but it was just. You know,
smart tactic for the club.
And and I just made a lot of money. And sometimes I do a burlesque show, just depending. Like if I'd already gone to a city, then the next tier up, we're like, okay, now for this money, you should do a burlesque show, and then we'll sign on and get this whole thing.
Yeah.
So I was in a different city. That was a tour.
Yeah.
That was a tour.
That's a tour.
I didn't know what city I was in. Like,
right.
I had a handler that was just like because I couldn't
bringing you around from club to club. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was. It's just a meat puppet. Like go make money. Go make stand there.
I haven't heard that
wave
term yet.
Like, okay,
meat puppet.
Okay. And most of the time, my assistant just went with me. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if it's like East Coast or Midwest, it's in my contract to get a first class ticket.
Right.
If it's California, and I was such an asshole with money. I was like, no, I'm not doing it for penny less.
Yeah.
And
well, you set your rate, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because once I. It's so interesting. I wish I still had that, like, the balls, because now I'm like, I'll work for anything.
Yeah.
So sometimes we were on Southwest.
The airline.
Hated Southwest. Yeah. And so we'd board, obviously, we're first boarding and go, and I would sit by the window and then make him sit in the aisle. And so this is the middle seat. And I was just praying it wasn't a full flight. And I have the worst luck on things like that because people sit next to me and then just talk to me the whole time.
Right, right.
Dying inside. he hated it. Oh, God, he hated it.
You
so
are
much.
The, yeah, like if you're
this
on a
is
plane,
what I would make him do. Yeah. I would make him, if someone looked like they were about walking toward us or looking at the seat, I would make him like, dry heave, like fake dry heave, just a little, like he's not feeling
so
well.
So no one would sit
grab,
next to you?
He was instructed to grab.
The barf bag.
Oh my God. Like, oh, I don't feel good. Like not actually pretend to throw up, but like he might. And people are like, oh, I don't want to sit next to you. And
so
that's
this
how
is
I
all.
That's how I tried to, and he would look at me, and he'd look down, and I was like, do it. And he was like, don't make me do it. And I'm like, do it.
So this would be just,
pay you good.
This would just
I, the
be,
words
so someone
I,
doesn't sit next to you guys. He's pretending to throw up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so, and the words.
Did it work most of the time?
The words, I pay you good money, just do it.
Like, this is his job description on a resume. I used to fake vomit for
I used to work
actress.
For a crazy woman. That made me do things I didn't want to do.
But did it work most of the time?
Yeah.
If the flight was not sold out, no one would sit next to you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you were there alone, someone's going to be sitting next to you.
Yeah.
Because you are.
I mean, it's definitely, yeah.
You are like, every time I'm sitting on a plane and there's like a, you know, the middle seat, I'm always like, who's sitting next to me? And then I'm always like, oh, look, there's a cute girl. There's someone cool, you know. And I'm always like, oh, I wish they would sit next to me. And it's never the cool person.
Mm-mm.
It's always like the guy who smells or needs two seats or whatever. Yeah.
And this guy that like ate trash for breakfast
right,
and is breathing
exactly.
on you. And you're
yeah.
like, oh, people. There's people that eat McDonald's on flights.
Oh my God! I had someone.
Fuck.
Someone.
The fuck. What the fuck?
I had someone order. Someone brought a fish sandwich once.
How dare you, sir?
Really? And wings, buffalo wings, like the wing sauce. It was like, oh my God! It smelled the whole plane.
I think wings should be eaten. It should be like prayer and masturbation and shitting done privately.
Yeah.
Where people don't see you.
Or at a wing place where like there's several people eating.
I won't eat wings in public.
No, that's at home.
It's too messy.
At home, yeah. You don't want to have wing sauce on all over your hands.
It's sneaky. It's messy. And also, like, I can only do the drummies because I have a...
See, you like the drums.
Well,
a lot of people just like the flats.
What's a flat?
That's just, you know...
The little thigh?
The little thigh, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
I like both. I like to have a combination of both.
I don't eat them much simply because I don't like...
Right. They're not the healthiest.
Want to hear all the weird things about me? I'm afraid of birds.
Birds.
I'm terrified of birds.
Yeah.
They're too reptilian-like for me.
Yeah.
And the wings, like, I am afraid of wings. Mm. The wing.
Are you thinking
of a part.
About? Are you thinking about the bird as you eat the wing?
No,
it
just
it
looks so bizarre and crazy. It like it fills me with fear. Like I will stop. I'm paralyzed with fear. Like I've gone to very nice restaurants in France, and I had to look away and explain. And you know, and then like what? I'm like, just grab it and rip it off. Just grab it. I don't care what you do with it. Just don't let me see it. So there's that, and then also, I don't like the bones, and then there's like weird veins.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it just grosses
yeah, yeah.
me out.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, it depends on like the quality and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've weird. I had a guy. It was a long time ago, a few years ago, before pandemic, but he was like, "I'll make you dinner."
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have asked to make me dinner because he cooked. And,
right.
and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll make you dinner. And he's like, are you allergic to anything? And I was like, well.
Here's a list.
Yeah. And I'm allergic to pineapple. So I can't cook with pineapple. And I have a fear of bones. And
bones,
wings.
Yeah.
Like I can't look at something.
You prefer to have a boneless wing, like a buffalo wing.
Yeah.
I don't like those.
Yeah. And so I went through all my phobias of what can't be on my plate. Right. Then I was like, it's not that I can't eat cheese, but it just depends what kind of cheese. And if it's the wrong kind, we're going to be very close way too fast.
Yeah.
So it's just a can of milk. I can't. There's so many.
You're lactose
like,
intolerant. Then, right?
So, yeah, very. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so this guy was, after looking at my list, we didn't do anything. He's like, we're done. Like,
this is a guy you're dating?
No, we never dated. Oh. We never got that far.
Possibly
he was like,
interested.
Yeah. And
but
he
then
was,
he saw this list and he was like, this is too much for me?
She's already high maintenance.
Really?
So yeah.
Wow. No. Have you had that problem where like people think like, are you high maintenance to date? Is that what it is?
I would imagine. Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. Have you had that problem? Like going out on a date and people are like, you're a little too high maintenance for me or whatever.
I don't think
they
don't
know how to deal with it.
I don't think I give off the vibe that I'm not though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't I look like a pain in the ass? Like,
yeah, I mean, I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Like, if I were to go out with you, I'd be like, well, you know, I don't know. She's going to want to go here, maybe. And
you would
know.
Never go, hey, maybe she wants to go bowling. Like, it wouldn't even be a thought in your head.
Maybe she.
Which
exactly.
I would love to go bowling, well, but what like,
is,
you wouldn't yeah, think
what's
of
a first
it?
Date with Rachel Sterling? Like where is a guy supposed to take you? Seriously.
It's like, very hard because I've had very weird first dates. Yeah. So,
but if a guy came, if a guy like approached you,
so
asked
usually
you out,
dinners, usually
a dinner,
usually dinner,
a dinner. Normal, but are you going to be like picky, like as far as like, well, where are we going? What kind of food is it?
No,
fancy?
No, no, no.
Do you want
I don't
a fancy
like
place? Do you want like a low key place? What do you want?
I always want an expensive, fancy place. Are
expensive,
insane?
Fancy. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. But if it's too expensive on a first date, is that like, you know, even for the guy or whatever, is that like, I'm going to go drop.
I'm
going to
say something that's your viewer is going to be like, yeah, she's an asshole. I don't date men the way it's a problem. Like,
yeah,
I just
right.
Don't,
like, so a guy who wants to date you should be like, oh, yeah, I can totally go to this restaurant on a first date. No problem.
I would just assume.
You would assume that they can afford whatever.
I keep hitting things. I talk
it's
with
right.
my hands.
You're nervous.
So
I get
much.
It. Now we're getting like personal. I know.
No, I talk with my hands a lot.
You're not even Italian.
Look I know. It. I'm literally holding my hand down so I don't talk with it.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be a problem for the guy. And like, yeah, that makes sense. So
I usually like the guy. I get so irritated because I'm like, you have to have a plan.
Right. Have a plan.
If I get in this car and you like, where do you want to go? Oh, no. No. I'll get out of the car. You didn't have a plan.
It's not like you don't want the guy just showing up being like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. You need to have a syllabus. You need to have a plan of the date for the night.
We're going
to dinner here. Then we're doing this, and then we'll see, or whatever.
Presented nicer, but yeah, right. But like, Jesus Christ.
It'd be like, well, maybe, I thought maybe we would go here and start with this, or something,
yeah,
you know.
The presentation is everything. So most things that most women, or the feminists, don't like certain things, I like them.
You're
like,
a little
I,
bit
I
more
like
old
the,
fashioned.
I like the door open for
You're
me.
You're a little more old fashioned. You like old fashioned things.
I not only like the door open for me, I'm used
Chivalry.
To it being open for me. So
yeah.
It's not that I'll die if it's not, but I'm just a little.
Well, that should,
I'm
yeah.
usually taken aback. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's a thing that should happen still. Doors being opened, chairs being pulled out, that kind of thing.
You know, I like when I've. Go some unless it's someplace I picked, then it's like, oh, you right. have to try this and you have to try
now,
that.
Now, what if a guy's trying too hard? Is that a turnoff? Like, it's over obvious, like, this guy is like trying way too hard or like nervous or like, I don't know.
I've never experienced it.
There's got to be a happy medium for you, I'm guessing.
I think I just gravitate toward people that are comfortable.
Down
themselves.
To earth, comfortable.
Yeah.
Not putting on a show,
no.
per se. Yeah. That
no,
makes sense. Yeah.
I don't
Because you don't want someone to be fake. You want them to be the real deal, the themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had the experience. I just don't think they've definitely attracted my fair share of assholes and stuff like that, but
right.
it's more like just bad timing.
Yeah.
You know.
That makes sense.
But I've never been around anyone that's like, I can tell they're trying to impress me. They're usually just being themselves, which
yeah.
is fine.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I mean.
You don't want someone that's fake, you know?
Yeah.
Even though we live in LA.
I went on a date with someone who was trying to make it seem like he 100% wasn't trying to impress me. I was like.
Like he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, he did that. I know. He was being like the, like.
Like, SARS, we're out.
It worked for some reason. I don't know.
That tactic works for some guys, right?
I don't know. It's like, it worked for him. Like, yeah. I don't think, after a while, I was like, okay, this is mildly weird. So I'm going to back out, dip out. But I was intrigued. It held my attention for a minute. You
You're kind of like, what is up? Like, what is up with this tactic?
This guy.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
He's an asshole.
He's an asshole, but I like him, yeah. That's funny though. All right, so yeah, making your assistant fake puke on an airplane so someone doesn't have to sit in between you guys.
Yeah,
that's kind of an asshole
that's
thing.
An but asshole it worked. Thing.
I think a lot of people would be fine with that. I think because
when the person's telling you, please don't make me do this.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's like against his will. He's forced to fake vomit.
Yeah.
I mean, but we've all been on that plane. Everyone sitting there that has that extra seat when it's about to like, you know, the door's about to shut. They're like, oh my God, this really worked. And then all of a sudden some asshole sits in between you and you're like, oh man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Is there any other asshole story or is that any other one you want to share? Quick one.
There's so many. Which one do I put out into the world? I don't go out to clubs. I used to
be the one that was there, and people would be like, "There's Rachel. We got to get in there." That was your job for sort of.
Well, that, but I mean, like out here, like
yeah,
you know,
no more clubs.
Socialite bullshit. I think I had my birthday party at some club. Somebody was like, "I'll throw you a birthday party," and like went in. And like all these people, like I don't remember people. I have the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm walking into a place where I feel kind of uncomfortable.
Right.
Like it takes me a minute. Like my mother could be there, and it would take me a minute to register that it's her because I'm just so like shell shocked.
You're in your own world.
Yeah.
A lot.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm really nervous. So.
I get it.
And I had this guy, and he's like, "Hey, he reminded me of." Somewhere where I was just acting like a fucking raging bitch, which when I think about that time of my life, like, yeah, that tracks. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I used to do a lot of cocaine and I was a dick. I'm so sorry. I think I was apologizing because so many people like, oh my God, I didn't see any. And I was just like remembering, like it was coming back. And I'm like, I was apologizing. Like, oh, you don't have to apologize. I'm like, no, I do, because you literally came across the room.
Right.
And reminded me. Remember, it's so crazy when you yelled at me for this thing, and I was like, "Oh my God!" I'm like
yelling at someone.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was. I can't remember. It was,
now, when you get mad and you yell at someone, is it like a big scene that happens? Are people scared?
No, they're not scared. They're like, "What a bitch." I was younger. I was younger. I was entitled. I was on drugs. And I'm really happy that I grew out of that.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that I have it's there,
just
lurking.
Being nicer
so now
to
I
people.
Just,
yeah.
Now I just kind of step it down. I mean, it is. It's not that it's not part of my personality. I just know now that it's not socially acceptable.
Yeah. Does it take a lot for you to get really pissed off, like to yell at someone, like these days?
I get irritated very quickly.
Yeah.
But for me to disrespect myself in public by yelling.
Right.
You would have had to really do something.
Yeah. Something really fucked up.
Really egregious.
Right.
Because because it is true. Like when you get, you know, Karen like behavior or something like that, you're literally disrespecting yourself.
Right.
You're making yourself look stupid.
Well, because you gotta, you know, acknowledge that this is probably not gonna look right.
I think some people just, they're so full of emotion or passion, whatever you want to call it. You don't know what these people came from. Not trying to like play a fiddle for the Karens, but you know, who knows?
fiddle for the Karens.
Who knows? Who knows?
That could be your album.
That's the name of my band. Like you don't know what they went through. So there's gotta be a reason for it. But I do know that the humiliation that I feel when someone reminds me of how I used to talk to, I had a bad habit of talking down to people when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it came from. I don't know.
You're not sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was like the first little bit of power I had. So I was like, I ran with it.
Right.
But I learned really quickly that.
But that's the thing.
You don't treat people like that. No. It's not how I was raised.
No, we all go through like, you know, chunks of time like that in our life, and we figure like, oh, that's probably not the best tactic to live by, and
no,
you grow out of it and you move on, and you know, but you gotta go through it to, you know, acknowledge that it's not the right move or the right way to act towards people, you know. Yeah.
So now I keep all my nasty comments to myself.
Or the internet.
Or the internet.
Are you a troll on the internet secretly writing to people?
No.
Who has time for that shit, right?
I'm always shocked. I'm always shocked that people will, because I'm always, I've been attacked. I ignite so much passion in people just for existing that they feel the need to.
Do people like leave comments on like your YouTube things. Or Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, someone's else is in charge of like deleting those things now.
You don't
like,
read that stuff, do you?
I did for a second.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing because you have to be engaging. Well, how can I engage if I don't see it?
Right.
But I also don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it, but it's also like as a comedian or actor or public, you know, persona, you know, you are curious. You are kind of want to know what your fans are thinking. But then at the same time, you read some nasty shit, you're going to be pissed off.
Oh, I mean, I have people that there's a sentence with X amount of words and they'll take the last two words and then just run with it.
Yeah.
And you know, I did someone else's podcast and I said, I can't remember what I said. It was something, that I don't like being called girl. Like, with words like, oh, somebody did it, you'd be like, oh, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
And I took it to mean like, you meaning like, I don't know this person and their objective is to get in my pants.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I, and so for me, it's when guys that I don't know call me like, hey girl, but they're like, when they're doing it, at least in my experience, it's happened a few times where it's a vibe where like, I'm literally being emotionally stood over and physically, like my space is being taken.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And I was going to elaborate on why is because I fucking raging anxiety. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. Because my natural instinct, for some instead of saying fuck off, my natural instinct is to, okay, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think women, we're trained like that. We don't want to hurt your feelings, even though you're making us feel uncomfortable. And that's why I don't like it. So I don't like it.
Well, yeah.
And I didn't, you know, the guys made fun of it too. First, they don't really care what they said. For some reason, I had this one guy, I was like, can you imagine being so full of yourself that you don't like being called what you are? And I'm like, first of all, I'm not full of myself. Secondly, I haven't been a girl since 1992.
Woman.
I'm like, so because I'm female, I'm like,
it's just kind of like
people just kind of wanted to hate on something, and then it went back and forth.
They used the poor choice of words.
And then I had someone else was like, "Oh yeah, she's clearly a whore." I'm like, "I'm a whore because I don't want I don't respond to people talking to me in a degrading manner."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are the people.
It's not the word "girl." It's not the word "girl." It's the mannerism that the way it's vibe.
Written or the vibe.
Because you know who calls me "girl"? You know who calls me "girl"? My friends, gay men. And girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
All people that I know, though, but so a stranger, it makes me uncomfortable.
Right. And this person has nothing else to do, and they're just trolling around on the internet. And it's like.
So
I get called all these things. Don't read the comments.
I don't read comments.
It's not worth it.
I don't read comments.
You know, you're going to do fine without reading
sometimes
the comments.
Sometimes I just don't look and I just like them. No, I like them. Because the algorithm doesn't know you're getting trolled.
Right.
The algorithm
just knows you're like responding. Yeah. You like everything, negative comment, you know. Till comes back and cancels you one day or something. Mm-hmm. Be like, Rachel Sterling liked this comment. Did you see what they wrote? It's like, no, it's a bot that's doing that. It's not really her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, we can stay here all day and talk. I've kept you long enough, I feel like. But we've learned a lot about Rachel Sterling, I feel like, today. we learned that she...
Am I a big enough asshole?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have some other stories, but we'll have you come back and tell some more at some point. You know, we want to keep the audience glued to their ear pods or whatever for more asshole stories from Rachel. But we learned a lot. I mean, you know, we learned that you started as a stripper and then became.
That's the only thing anyone will remember. out of this whole podcast.
No
one will. We didn't talk about it. I went to 4 years of theater school.
College.
I went to a conservatory. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about
college. Wedding crashers. You got a big break.
It's just
that
I was a stripper.
Well, you know what?
I was a stripper and I grew up, and then I played strippers.
You're a stripper, then you played strippers in one of the biggest movies ever. Yeah. No,
I wasn't a stripper in that.
No, you were a wedding guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. What else we have going on? So there's only one way we usually end this show, and it's by saying your name and then by saying that you're a Bassel. So the floor is yours.
Okay. I'm Rachel Sterling, and I am a Bassel.
Oh, there you go. I pressed the wrong button.
I get it again.
Do one more time.
Okay. Can I do it now?
Yep.
My name's Rachel Sterling, and I am a Bassel.
There you go, folks. Rachel Sterling, she is a Bassel, but she came on the show today and she redeemed herself, so she can go live an asshole-free.
Did I redeem myself?
Not yet.
No,
not really.
I don't think so.
Almost. You have plenty of time to come back and redeem yourself. Is there anyone that you want to nominate to be on the show that you think is asshole worthy? I know he's like put you on the spot. You're like, I don't know. You can get back to me, of course, but I always try to have someone nominate someone. That way we keep the chain going.
I don't know who you've had on the show.
Well, I think Rachel D nominated you, actually.
She's like, she's such an asshole.
But
I text Rachel. I'm like, I'm going to say something. She goes, say it, girl. I'm like, I want to say something unpopular, an asshole-ish.
You can always text
me. You know who's
an
asshole, but he's a great asshole. You should have Rob Pugliese on this show.
Rob Pugliese?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know him personally, but
he's an asshole. He's great.
He'd be good on this show. All right, Rob Pugliese.
I don't even know if he'd be able to pinpoint when he's an asshole, but like, he'll just say stuff, and you're like, did you just say that?
Yeah. That was too far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Pugliese. All right, so you've nominated Rob. Well,
I nominate. It's a challenge. It's the asshole challenge.
Yeah, it's the asshole challenge. Yeah. So all right. So throw it out there. Maybe we'll get him on there. All right. Is there anything else you want to plug? You got shows coming up anywhere?
Ooh, what are shows? When does this air?
I don't know. Probably a couple weeks. So it won't matter. But
who knows?
But you're performing all over LA.
Yeah, I have so many shows that I don't know when they are.
That's fine.
I'm the worst. Follow me on Instagram. So rsterlingcomedy.
rsterlingcomedy.
And then my website is rachelsterling.rocks. And it has a section.
.rocks? What is that?
It's a website.
It's like a .com
or a .net.
Oh, really? I never heard of that. Mm-hmm. .rocks. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Stands out.
Well, I had someone, I didn't want to buy my site back from someone else.
Oh, someone took it?
My other one. So
someone stole it. They were going to like exploit you for thousands of dollars to get it back. Yeah,
I was like, keep it.
Keep it. Yeah.
What do you want with
Fuck
it?
You. I got .rocks now. .rocks. Look out. Okay. Rachel Sterling .rocks. Who needs .com when you get .rocks? All right, perfect. So Rachel Sterling, we will have her back here at some point. You're also going to be on the live show of this at the Hollywood Improv on October 9th. Yeah.
So what's the concept?
So
of
the
this?
Concept. So you're going to.
I'm on a panel. I'm not being judged.
You're not going to be judged.
Okay.
maybe we'll have you perform one day, but I think you'd be great on the panel. So mm-hmm. you pretty much you comment on everyone else's asshole story along with me and someone else.
Are we roasting them, or is it
we can roast them. We can have we have questions about their story.
Oh, okay.
Then we kind of judge like who we think's the biggest asshole of the night at the end. Okay. And it can go anywhere. Like the audience can chime in. You know, it just kind of can get out of control at some point. So it's a lot of fun, and we'll see how it goes. We're doing the first one on October 9th. This may air after that, so I don't know. But
air after it.
No.
How much editing?
I know. I record them like weeks out, but you know, we'll see. I might push this one up further because you have an appearance on the show or quicker, closer to the show, maybe. All right, cool. Well, guys, make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify at Basshole Podcast is Instagram. And remember, folks, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. Ciao.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.